your word. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
Amen. Tonight, I am continuing on my subject from this morning. This morning, I preached on a biblical view of the environment and went over just some biblical principles about what a correct view of the environment is, because of the fact that there are some people who go to extremes in either direction. Obviously, we've got a lot of people that have made a literal religion out of the environment, and they're worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator, and they're deifying animals and plants and nature, and they're putting nature above the needs of human beings, and they don't believe that God created the heaven and the earth, and so they have all kinds of wrong ideas. And then you have other people who are kind of reacting to the radical environmental agenda, and they just kind of are for trashing the environment, or just they just kind of turn a blind eye as big businesses maybe just dump whatever toxic sludge into this world. And here's the thing, there is some serious pollution going on in this world, and obviously it is unrighteous. You know, for example, over in China, there are literally cities where the quality of the air is so bad that it's like smoking two packs a day of cigarettes just to live there. You know, you just live. I mean, is that where you would want to raise your family and live? Would you want to breathe that air and have your kids breathe that air? But you see all these pictures of all the haze and smog, and it's horrible. Okay, so obviously, we don't want to go to either of these extremes. So we talked about some of the biblical things this morning that pertain to that. But tonight, I don't want to re-preach this morning's sermon, but I want to just focus in on one issue that I didn't really talk about a lot this morning that is kind of the big one that you hear about all the time. And I want to just look at some scriptures from the Bible and get a biblical perspective on this issue, because there's a lot of disinformation on both sides. And what motivates all this disinformation that's out there? Well, a lot of it's the love of money. There are a lot of people that profit from destroying the environment on one hand, because they're cutting corners on safety and cutting corners on, you know, how they dispose of waste and so forth. And then there are other people who are profiting on protecting the environment because they want to charge people carbon credits and you know, they fly around in a jet like Al Gore and tell you that your car is the problem and everything like that. But the subject I really want to focus on tonight is the subject of global warming. Okay, because this is kind of the big one that you hear about all the time, right? Global warming. And then it's like, hey, do you believe in global warming? Or do you not believe in global? Are you a denier of global warming or whatever? And a lot of this is just politically motivated, folks. And you have to be able to see through some of this garbage for what it is. Today, we live in this society where there's this false left-right paradigm. And you've got the Democrats and the Republicans. And here's what I've noticed, okay? Whenever the Democrats are in power, according to the Republicans, everything they do is wrong. According to the Democrats, everything they do is right. And then when the Republicans are in power, the Democrats just think everything they do is wrong, even if they're doing the exact same things. You know, and by the way, let me just say, and this doesn't have anything to do with the environment, so I'm a little off topic right now, but I know that, as long as I realize that. Here's the thing, is that whatever party's in power is always the pro-war party, by the way. Whoever's in power is pro-war, and whoever's not in power is against the war. So right now, we have a Democrat in the White House, so we're pro-war now, okay? And then when it's a Republican in the White House, then the Republicans will be pro-war, and then the Democrats will go back to being against war, okay? But it's always like that. Whoever's in power, they can do no wrong if it's our guy, you know? But if it's the other guy, he can do no right. This is, of course, foolishness, okay? And so this environmental issue has become just a very partisan issue where the Democrats want to preserve the environment and the Republicans, you know, don't care as much about the environment or whatever. But we need to just kind of push all that out of our minds and just think about, what does the Bible say? What's truly going on here? And how should we feel about this as Christians, okay? Well, the first thing I want to point out about this issue of global warming, and if you would turn to Psalm 46 in your Bible, Psalm 46, is that we should not buy into this fear-mongering that tries to scare us that somehow We're doing permanent damage to the planet that can never be undone. And all of these things about how, you know, rising sea levels are going to put cities underwater. And, you know, we're all going to just be living in this dystopian hellhole or something. Okay. Because first of all, we saw this morning that the Bible clearly said in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease, right? God has promised that these things will continue until the end. There's going to be cold, there's going to be hot, there are going to be seasons. We're going to be okay. So don't panic, don't freak out, don't get scared, don't worry about it. Now, obviously, like I said, there are certain places in this world, like, for example, places in China and other places, where, yeah, they're destroying the immediate environment around them and harming and hurting their fellow man. But in general, this world in general is going to survive until the end. Okay, that's what the Bible clearly teaches. The Bible says in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. You see, we as Christians, we shouldn't be afraid of anything that's going on in this natural, physical world around us, because we know that God is our refuge. He's our protector. He's going to keep us safe. He's the God of nature. He's the God that created all this, and he's got the whole world in his hands, and it's nothing that we need to panic or worry about for ourselves. I mean, that's what the Bible says, right? Even if the earth be removed and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, you know, whatever troubling of the waters that happens, we know that if God's for us, who can be against us? And we don't need to live in fear and get sucked into all of this alarmism about global warming or the environment. You know, I just want to get that out of the way. Go, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1. The other principle that we need to understand going into this subject is that this world is not going to be here forever. Now, we don't know how long this world is going to be here. And when I say it's not going to be here forever, I mean in its present form. Obviously, it's going to be changed. And here's the thing about that, is that a lot of the environmentalists and the alarmists, they want this thing to last in its current state for like millions of years. Okay, well, there's your problem right there. It's not going to happen because this thing was never intended to last for millions of years, because that's not how God created it. You know, we've been doing this now on this earth as human beings for, you know, what, 6,300 some years or whatever, however long it's been. But we're not going to be here millions of years from now as it stands. Obviously, I understand that there's going to be a new heaven and new earth and we're going to be here forever. But as it stands right now, this is a temporary thing, okay? We don't know when Christ is going to return. Christ could return in our lifetime. Christ could return in the next decade. Christ could return 100 years from now or 300 years from now, right? We don't really know. But I would say if he's not here within the next 2,000 years, that's when you should start worrying. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, because honestly, I do believe that, I don't believe it's that far out. But I will say that we're living in the last days, the latter times. So it makes sense. There are about, you know, 4,300 and some years of human history before Christ coming. You know, I can't really see there being more than that after Christ coming. But the point is that we don't know when it's going to happen, but it is going to happen. And really, the earth in its current systems only has to last up until that point. Okay. Look down at the Bible there in Hebrews chapter 1. It says in verse 10, Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. What is the they there? The earth and the heavens. They shall perish. The earth and the heavens shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So what's happening? The earth is decaying. The earth is getting old. The earth is waxing old as a garment. And eventually God's going to fold it up, and it's going to be changed, right? So we shouldn't expect that things are going to go on the way that they are right now for millions of years or something. That's never been God's plan. Now, another thing about that is that the Bible says that we don't know what a day will bring forth. We know not what shall be on the morrow, the Bible says. And yet the global warming alarmists, they tell us what's going to happen 50 years from now, 100 years from now, 200 years from now. It is impossible for them to make these kind of predictions because the weather is very complicated. This is why even with all the computers and technology and advances in science, still the forecast over the next 7 days, if you keep checking it, it's going to keep changing. And if you check it 4 days from now, it's going to look different. Let alone trying to predict things 5 years from now, 20 years from now, 100 years from now. You don't know what's going to change. Not only that, you don't know how technology is going to change. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. For example, what if we were living in the year 1900 and we said, hey, our current development just isn't sustainable because there's just too many people with too many horses and, you know, there's just, we can't have this many horses and we can't accommodate the infrastructure for all these horses. That would have been really misguided because guess what? In a short time, people aren't going to care about horses anymore unless it's just a hobby to have horses as a hobby because horses have been totally replaced by machines in the vast majority of industries or transportation. I mean, look, if people have horses right now, it's for fun, it's a hobby. It's not because they necessarily need it. Obviously, there are a few exceptions to that, but I'm saying in general. Yeah. So you could sit there in the year 1900 worried about too many horses in the future and not enough infrastructure for the horses, but that's because you don't know cars are coming. So here's the thing. We in 2023, we don't know what's coming next. We don't know what kind of methods for producing energy, what kind of transportation methods are coming. So we can't just say, well, everybody's just driving their SUVs for the next 300 years. This is what it's going to do to the environment. Because who's to say anybody's going to be driving an SUV 200 years from now or even 50 years from now? We don't know because technology is constantly changing. And so we don't know what a day is going to bring forth. That's another biblical principle to think about here with this issue. Okay, now if you would flip over to Luke chapter 20, actually turn to Matthew chapter 7. We'll go to Luke 21 a little later. Go to Matthew chapter 7. And while we're going to Matthew chapter 7, let me just kind of explain to you the basics of the issue in case you've been like living under a rock or something for the last few years. If you haven't heard of global warming or if you're not really sure what the issue is, or maybe you even have heard about it, but maybe it was never explained to you in a way that you understood because you're just hearing Republicans and Democrats arguing and coming at you with their talking points. Let me just break this issue down to you, okay? Here's the bottom line, okay? Human beings breathe in oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide, right? Also, when you light things on fire, okay? Fire breathes in oxygen and out comes carbon dioxide. So if you ever took a chemistry class or something, a basic combustion reaction has some kind of a hydrocarbon going in, plus O2, and then boom, out the other side. One of the byproducts is water, and the other byproduct is CO2, okay? So whenever you burn anything, CO2 and H2O are byproducts, right? Water and carbon dioxide. Well, both water and carbon dioxide are what are called greenhouse gases, okay? And what that means is that when carbon dioxide and water are in the atmosphere and sunlight is coming in, right, they allow more sunlight to come down in than what they allow to go out, okay? And this is because it's a different wavelength on its way in, it's a shorter wavelength, and then on its way out, it comes back in infrared, and the infrared longer wavelengths are blocked by the water. And I'm oversimplifying this a little bit, but they block the carbon dioxide and the water in the atmosphere are blocking infrared radiation from leaving. Okay, so whenever the visible light is coming from the sun, the H2O and CO2 are just like, come on in. And they allow the light to come in, But then when it's being radiated back from the Earth in more of an infrared spectrum, it's like stop right there because it's a bigger wavelength, so it's running into more water and CO2 or whatever. Hopefully you understand what I just said. Hopefully what I just said made sense, okay? So this is like a greenhouse because when you have a greenhouse, you're trying to trap heat in, right? So these things are in the atmosphere. They're called greenhouse gases. And so if you have more CO2 and more H2O in the atmosphere, it traps heat inside. And then because it traps heat inside, it makes it warmer. And then when it gets warmer, more water evaporates. And then water is a greenhouse gas. So now you have water in the atmosphere more, which traps more heat, which makes more water evaporate, which traps more heat, which makes more water evaporate. And, you know, what they would call a runaway greenhouse effect, where it would be if it got so hot that all the water's evaporating and all of it's going to the atmosphere and then it's getting super hot. And then you're the planet Venus, where you're just like several hundred degrees Fahrenheit hotter than what we have, which is impossible, could never happen on the planet Earth. Nobody's ever saying that that could ever happen unless they're just being silly or something, okay? So what people are worried about is that with all of the power plants and cars and machines and humans on the Earth that are spitting out carbon dioxide, that basically we're increasing the temperature of the planet, melting ice caps, sea levels are rising, the global temperature is going up a little bit on average, whatever. But here's the thing to understand about this. Some people would just say it's not happening, it doesn't exist. And, you know, maybe that's your opinion. It's really hard for anybody to say 100% what's happening. But in general, the data suggests that over the last 100 years, CO2 levels have gone up in the atmosphere, and also that the temperature has gone up a little bit in the atmosphere. So people think, okay, yeah, these things are probably connected. They're probably correlated. But here's the thing about that. Is that even the most extreme alarmist projections about how, man, if we just continue doing the same thing without changing anything, what's going to happen? And they talk about the rising of sea level because it's going to go up like a couple degrees across the planet. You know, it's really not that extreme. It's basically cities that are like right on the coast are going to be underwater because they're like 3 feet above sea level or something, right? So if sea level rises like 3 or 4 feet or 6 feet, some places are literally going to be in trouble because they're just that low. Now look, the city of New Orleans right now is below sea level. But I would submit to you that that is just an idiotic place to put a city, and anybody who lives there should just know what they're getting into. That's the risk that you're taking building your city below sea level, which makes no sense, okay? So if you actually look at the most extreme projections, we're talking about sea level going up only by, say, several feet or something. You know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, 50 years from now, it goes up 5 feet or whatever. Now, another thing that we need to understand is that this is an average. So if you go to a place where the sea level has actually gone down, you don't want to mistakenly say like, well, these scientists are all lying because I saw the sea level go down. Because here's the thing, it goes down in a lot of places and up in a lot of places. It's just that the average sea level is rising because there are also plate tectonics at work that are shoving up on certain plates. Some plates are moving up, some plates are moving down. So there are lots of other factors, okay? And I'm not trying to get all scientific and technical tonight, but I have to at least give some of the basics so that we're all kind of on the same page and we kind of know what we're talking about here, okay? Now, I've got some bad news for you. You know, Arizona is never going to be beachfront property, no matter how serious global warming there is. Because we're sitting right now at like 1,100 feet above sea level. Nobody is predicting that. Like, even the people that are really scared about this are predicting it going up by, you know, 5 feet or 6 feet or something. So we're never going to be on the beach. You just have to drive to Rocky Point or L.A. or something, okay? So just give up on that. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7. I think this is a relevant passage when it comes to all these people that are living right on the beach and are scared about rising sea levels, okay? Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You could also say he built his house upon the sand, and global warming came, and sea level rose, and his house was washed away. Now look, if you're going to build your house right on the beach, here's what I would say to you. You're probably not a poor person. Would you agree with that? I mean, all the beaches that are lining California and other places, I don't think all the poor people are living right on the beach, okay? Those are wealthy people's mansions, and they build mansions on the edge of a cliff. They build mansions in some rock slide area because it looks cool. They build mansions in the sand. They build mansions on the beach. They build big resorts on the beach. Look, anybody who builds buildings in places that have historically been underwater or historically been places where mudslides happen, or where if the sea level rises by a foot and a half, we're doomed. You know what? That's the risk that they should have thought about getting into that. And perhaps as this world changes, because nothing ever stays the same in life, as the world changes, maybe some people will just need to move a little ways away from the shore as the sea level changes. Okay? Because even if there were no global warming at all, you still could have sea level rising in certain places and falling in others because the earth is constantly moving and changing. There are earthquakes and things. Look, if you build your house on an earthquake fault, something might go wrong. Right? I mean, it's like if you build in these places, and look, if you drive around New Orleans, all these damaged houses and buildings are everywhere. And you're like, is this from Katrina? Or what, you know, what is this? This is from last year. And that was from the year before. It's just every single year they're getting pounded by these storms and they're living below sea level. So they're subject to all this flooding and catastrophe. And it's also one of the most sinful, wicked cities in America. You know, I say Las Vegas, New Orleans, I mean, they're right up there. Okay, for just weirdness. And my point is that these people who have built their houses in the low places of this world, and they built literally on the sand in many cases, and they're built right on the edge, I'm sorry, but I'm not really worried about them being underwater 50 years from now. I think that they might just think about slowly moving their stuff away from the edge of the water and building on a more sure foundation. Okay, this is kind of obvious, isn't it? Now, if you would, and by the way, turn to Luke 21, if you would. But while you're turning to Luke 21, the book of Revelation talks about how in the end times, there are going to be all kinds of cataclysms, and there are all going to be all kinds of tidal waves, and there are going to be all kinds of islands and cities that go completely underwater in the end times. You know, for example, the Bible talks about when the seventh angel pours out his vial in Revelation chapter 16, it says, and every island fled away and the mountains were not found. So there are going to be all kinds of disruptions in the end times. There are going to be islands submerged in water. There are going to be tidal waves that wipe out cities and neighborhoods. But here's the thing about that. We are not going to be here as Christians when God pours out his wrath upon this earth, because these things happen after Christ comes in the clouds and we are caught up together to meet him in the clouds. Look what the Bible says in Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them with fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So notice, sea and waves roaring, powers of heaven shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, so when these things are just starting to happen, and if we study the rest of the Bible, we know even on the very day that these things begin to happen, we're not talking weeks or months later. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And so when the day does finally come that we have the sun and moon darkened, earthquakes, tidal waves, sea and waves roaring, when these physical, natural cataclysms start happening, then we look and lift up our heads and know that our redemption draws nigh. We're not worried about what's going to happen to our city or our houses, because we're gone at that point. We're done at that point. Now, until that day, this world is going to keep on turning, okay? The oceans are going to do their thing. The forests are going to do their thing. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, heat and cold, all the different cycles of this earth are going to continue, and everything in general is going to be fine until this day comes when, yeah, the people who are living in these low cities and people who are living on islands and in mountains, they ought to be very afraid because they are going to get wiped out someday. But it's going to be by a divine act of the wrath of God. It's not going to be because of too many greenhouse gases. It's not going to be because we didn't care enough about the environment. It's going to be because God is angry about sin and is going to send his wrath and judgment upon this earth. Flip over, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And while you're turning there, let me read for you a little bit of global warming from the Bible. It says in Revelation 16:8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And so ultimately, someday when God is pouring out his wrath on this earth, one of the things he's going to do is he's going to scorch men with great heat. It's going to get extremely hot. There are going to be record high temperatures, and people are going to be really suffering from the heat wave that God sends as he's pouring out his wrath upon this earth. But here's the thing about that. When that happens, they're not giving God the glory, the Bible says. So what are they probably going to be saying? You know, why didn't we listen to the scientists? Why didn't we listen about global warming? You know, when all of these natural disasters and cataclysms are happening in the end times, it's possible that they will be blamed on the environment, that they'll be blamed on heavy industry. They'll be blamed on greenhouse gases or, oh, look, you know, we mess with the climate too much. And now look what's happening to us. Look at these earthquakes. You know, I don't understand how we could be causing earthquakes, you know, with greenhouse gases. But I mean, look, that's the kind of things that you hear some of these radical environmentalists and politicians say. They literally claim that, you know, we're causing hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes. These things have always happened, my friend. Okay? And what you have to understand is that the earth is a dynamic place. Things are constantly changing. Volcanoes are erupting. Plates are shifting. All kinds of weather patterns are happening. The sun is going through different phases. There are sunspots and different cycles that the sun is on, that the earth is on, that everything is on. And so there are going to be climate changes, okay? And so I don't think that we need to deny the fact that the global temperature has increased by a few degrees or something and say, like, no, it's not happening. Maybe it is happening. Why not? Like, who cares? Like, if somebody says, hey, we've pumped all these CO2 fumes into the air, and now the temperature has gone up by a degree and a half or something worldwide. Okay, let's say that that's true. Well, then what are we going to do to fix it? Because these liberals, environmentalists, they don't really have a viable solution because the answer isn't windmills. Okay, because you're never going to produce the power needs of this world with windmills. And you can't use hydroelectric because they hate damming rivers, right? And, I mean, we can't put up too many windmills because then we're messing up their pristine nature preserves. They don't want to see anything man-made, right? So here's my question. What do they want? Do they want us to go back into the Stone Age? Do they want us to literally just live outside? But then these same people, they've got like a $6 Starbucks drink in one hand, and then they've got their MacBook Pro in the other hand, and then they're telling you how, you know, there are electric cars out in the parking lot, and they're telling you how, like, we've got to, you know, stop using so much energy. It's like, what do you think went into that drink and that computer and that car? And, you know, they can pontificate about their electric car, But guess how most electric power is produced in America today? It's produced by literally lighting coal on fire. I mean, you want to talk about primitive. Literally burning coal, lighting coal on fire. I mean, that is pumping greenhouse gases into the environment big time. So what is the difference if I get in my car and turn on my gasoline engine and put out a little bit of fumes into this world, or if I have an electric car that I'm charging up with power that's from a coal-burning power plant? It doesn't make any sense, does it? So until you turned all of the electricity production into a cleaner electricity production, like, say, nuclear power or something like that, then it wouldn't really even make any sense to just say, oh, if we switch to electric cars, that's going to fix everything, right? You'd have to actually switch the power source as well. But even if you did that, what about all the power that went into manufacturing your Tesla vehicle? What about all the power that went into manufacturing your computer, your clothes? These people don't want to live out in the jungle going ooga booga. They want to live in cities. They want to have electricity. They want to have climate control. They want to have nice clothes. They want to have all these things. And you know what they are? They're big time hypocrites is what they are. They want you to not do the things that you want to do or drive the vehicle that you want to drive, but it's what they do is fine. But ultimately, what they'll tell you that the real solution is, when you really get down to it with these people, what is the solution? It's not going back to the Stone Age. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to just be like, that's it, I'm done using power. It's too bad for the environment. I don't see Greta Thunberg swearing off all electricity and all modes of transportation that use electricity or fossil fuels or anything. How about this? She can only drive in vehicles where nothing's been mined. Right? Nothing's been mined and no damage has been done to the environment. What's she going to do? Drive around in a giant carrot celery mobile? Because, everything either gets grown or mined. Anything that you make, anything that you use to make stuff, it either has to be grown or mined. Where do you think materials come from, friend? They either grow out of the earth or you mine them out of the ground. Both of them are going to do some damage to the environment. And so ultimately, you want to know what their solution ultimately is reduce the population. And it all comes down to reducing the population either by just forcing everyone on birth control or brainwashing everyone not to have children or even killing people, in order to reduce the population, because we're just this cancer on this planet. Hey, as I preached this morning, this planet exists for us and because of us. We are not the problem. This is our house. We rule this planet. We as human beings are the only spiritual beings on this planet that even matter eternally, because animals and plants today are and tomorrow are cast into the oven. The Bible says that about grass, but let's just put animals into that too, because we all throw animals into our oven as well. And so the bottom line is that we, as human beings, we are fine to have kids and live on this earth and eat and drink and serve God because, I'm not worried about what's going to happen 80 years from now to this planet or 150 years from now, because no one knows what's going to happen in the future. And all we know is what's right in front of us. And the Bible says, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so, no, we don't want to corrupt and pollute our environment right now for us here in the present, but we don't need to be like, yeah, but what about 700 years from now? Oh, but what's New Orleans going to do in 75 years? You know what? If New Orleans is underwater in 75 years, I think that could be a good thing. Okay? And it's not like it's going to happen in one day or something. Everybody, let's get up. I'm not saying that we can't get everybody out alive. But that's a wicked city, and if it goes underwater, they should have thought about that before they built it below sea level. That's their problem. Nothing's permanent in this world. And so, if Kiribati goes underwater or other island nations that are 1 foot above sea level, c'est la vie. Okay? Throughout history, places that used to be livable have become not livable. And then new places that used to be not livable become livable. People have to move. People have to change. Who here has moved in your life more than 100 miles from where you used to live? Put up your hand. At some point in your life, you moved more than 100 miles away. Yeah, that's just life. We've all done it. We've all moved. Okay? You're not necessarily just going to be able to live your entire life below sea level and just expect all of these dams and dikes and whatever to withhold the flood. Eventually, you're getting submerged. That's life. And so 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says this, says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." You see, I'm not too worried about the fact that eventually this earth is going to be destroyed, because I know that I am a spiritual being that's going to live forever. And so when I die, I'm going straight to heaven, or when Christ returns, I'm going to be caught up with him in the clouds. And so I'm not worried about the fact that this earth is not going to make it for thousands more years or several hundred more years, because I'm looking for a new heaven and a new earth according to God's promise. And in light of the fact that everything around us is eventually going to be burned, destroyed, submerged, whatever, what manner of persons ought we to be, according to verse 11, in all holy conversation and godliness? You know, we need to live our lives for a cause that is actually eternal, okay? Something that actually matters. If you spend your life as some kind of an eco-warrior trying to save the planet, you're not going to succeed, because eventually God has slated the planet for destruction. And no matter what you do to preserve it, it's still going to get super hot someday. It's still going to get super flooded someday. Islands are going underwater no matter what. It's all going to happen. None of us can stop it from happening. But I'll tell you what we can do today is we can give the gospel to someone, right? We can actually preach the gospel to every creature. And you know what? Here's the thing. Obviously, this is a sensitive subject for me because I have 12 children, right? And all what it all comes down to with these environmentalists is that we need to stop having so many humans on the planet. We got to reduce the population. And so I'm their worst nightmare, okay, by producing 12 children. According to their logic that just says, oh, more people equals bad for the environment. First of all, I don't even believe that at all. Because here's the thing. I am a responsible person who actually treats the environment well. And I'm raising my children to be intelligent, responsible people that are going to treat the environment well. We're not littering our trash. We're not dumping any toxic sludge. We're not involved in any kind of desecration of the environment. Okay? Now, do we use power? Sure. Yeah, we use power. We use plumbing, whatever. But we also have 12 people living in one house. That's pretty efficient, if you ask me. I typed all my info into like a environmental calculator telling me my carbon footprint. And my carbon footprint actually was pretty good, because it's like, how many people live in your house and how big is your house? And it's like my score went through the roof. Like, hey, it's like, yeah, all right. What I didn't tell them is I brought those 12 people into this world, you know. And so, but, you know, they think I'm just having some kind of a commune with all my environmental buddies. But the point is that, you know, I don't think that I'm the problem anyway, because you want to know who the big polluters are in this world? It's giant corporations. It's the military-industrial complex. I mean, who do you think's polluting more? Homeschool families with a lot of kids, or the Defense Department? You know, setting off nukes just to see what'll happen. Just testing them out. Testing all kinds of other, you know, explosive devices all the time, you know. burning all kinds of stuff to the ground. But again, it's a big time hypocrisy. It's just a bludgeon for liberals to use just to beat up on people who have big families, or just to tell us that we're the problem, we need to change our lifestyle and whatever. You know, I don't believe that we need to go backward as a culture. I believe we need to go forward. I want to see more technological advances, more conveniences. I'm not trying to go backward and go back into the woods or something. You know, I want to keep advancing. And so, you know what? Figure out a way to generate cleaner power. Because I'm going to use power, and so is everyone else, and none of us are going to stop. And you know what? As long as the Muslims are pumping out a bunch of illiterate children who follow a pedophile named Muhammad, as long as they're churning out 6, 7, 8 kids per family on average, well, you know what? I'm having kids too, because I want to bring some Bible-believing Christians into this world, and at least I'm bringing people into this world that can read and write, and at least I'm bringing, and you say, oh, how do you say it about Muslims? Folks, look at the statistics of the 10 most illiterate countries in the world. They're Muslim countries. Look at countries where there's high illiteracy. It's not the Christians that are illiterate. It's the Muslims that are illiterate, right? So, hey, who do you think is going to mess up the environment more? Illiterate Muslims or actual God? You say, well, yeah, but the God-fearing Christians, they have all the prosperity. So then, you know, they have the vehicles and the stuff. Okay, well, good for us. We're going to enjoy it until Jesus comes. Okay? But look, you got a bunch of pagans, you got a bunch of Muslims, you got Mormons and others, you know, pumping out a bunch of children into this world. Well, you know what? Two can play at that game. We're going to reproduce ourselves here as godly, Bible-believing Christians, and we're going to raise up a generation that's going to preach the gospel to every creature. We're going to raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm not going to let some liberal tell me not to have kids because I'm destroying. First of all, there's 8 billion people in the world. I brought in 12 more. It's a drop of water on a hot stove. Especially if my kids are smart people that are actually doing good things for society and doing good things for the environment and doing good things, more importantly, spiritually for this world, because our world has much bigger spiritual problems than environmental problems or whatever else. You know, I'm teaching my kids not to litter. I'm teaching my kids. And by the way, we teach all our kids to use environmentally friendly cleaning products and eat organic food. Why? Because we're just so scared about the environment? No, because we don't want to use poisonous stuff in our house anyway. So we like to use the clean, greeny stuff anyway, just because we're just looking out for our own health and our own safety. You know? And so there's a bunch of propaganda out there that's geared at trying to get people not to have kids. And what are we talking about? We're talking about Americans, getting Americans not to have kids, right? Nobody's stopping the Muslims from having kids in all of their crap hole countries that they live in, okay? Hey, I can't believe you said that. Wake up, my friend. Islam is a religion that is ruining every society where it exists, period, okay? But, you know, hey, they don't want us to have kids. That's one of the reasons for this propaganda. They don't want us to have children. And it's also because they want to knock on Christianity and say that, well, Christianity is the problem because, you know, we basically believe that we're not going to be here forever, and we believe that God's got the whole world in his hands and everything, but the science says it's all going to be doomed in 200 years or whatever. Nobody knows what's going to happen in 200 years. And you know what? Even a lot of scientists, they'll try to tell you all the scientists agree on these subjects. If you actually listen to what scientists are saying, they'll tell you, hey, there's more CO2 in the atmosphere. The temperature's gone up a few degrees, but we don't know what it's going to do in the future. It's impossible to predict. There are too many variables because there are all kinds of mechanisms in our world to counteract when CO2 levels rise. You know, other mechanisms kick in, negative feedback loops kick in. And so I'm not worried about it. I'm not scared about it. At the end of the day, what I care about is making a spiritual difference in this world, winning souls to Christ, preaching the gospel to every creature, because everything that we see with our eyes one day, according to 2 Peter 3, is all going to be gone someday. It's all going to be dissolved. Every tree in the rainforest is going to be gone. All of the life. And think about when we read the book of Revelation and God's pouring out his wrath on this earth, what about when one-third of the creatures which are in the sea and have life die? How about when one-third of the ocean life just dies? I mean, whatever we're doing to the environment right now can't even hold a candle to that kind of devastation and destruction that God himself is going to bring in the end times because of his wrath upon wickedness and sin. So at the end of the day, we need to focus on the spiritual battle. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. And we need to not buy into this propaganda. Now, as I said this morning, we don't want to go to another extreme and desecrate the environment ourselves. And we should not support dumping toxic waste or, you know, pumping a bunch of billowing black smoke into the atmosphere and just all of the, like I said, you know, where you have cities in this world where the air quality is so horrific that people are having health problems and so forth. Hey, I'm against all of that, okay? I'm all for cleaner sources of power production. I'm all for, reusing things or, not wasting things. I mean, what does the Bible say? You know, he that is slothful in his work, his brother to him that is a great waster. I'm against wasting things, and I'm against littering, and I want to, be responsible about the way that I live my life so that I'm not harming my fellow man. And I want to do unto others as I would have them to do unto me. And so I don't want to leave the environment worse for my children by, you know, just destroying resources or polluting or anything like that. I mean, I think we all kind of agree with those basic principles of keeping things nice. But that's not really what the environmental movement is about, is it? It's more about talking down on humans, talking down on Christians, talking down on having a big family. And it's all about just promoting a certain political agenda so that they can take power and they can get the carbon credits and they can spend billions of dollars of government money on all of their sweetheart deals for the green economy so that them and their buddies can get rich. There's just so much corruption in this world. And that's why I'd rather just not get involved in these political things and all the things that are going on in this world about global warming on a political level. But I would say this, that yes, the weather is changing. I mean, the weather has been doing some radical things over the last few years. Record heat waves in places like Portland, Oregon, Santa Monica, California. I mean, those temperatures are unprecedented. But we had a pretty cool spring here. What if it just keeps getting hotter, you know? Well, then people are just going to have to move somewhere else. People are always going to figure it out. And there are always going to be winners and losers, by the way. You know, whenever the environment changes, it's not bad for everyone. Certain life forms are going to thrive when it gets a little warmer. Other life forms are going to suffer when it gets a little warmer. Well, guess what? That's what the way life is, isn't it? We always have to adapt and change. We might have to move. If we live, you know, our beachfront property might get a little bit inundated or whatever. Move on. Live your life. But see, as long as we don't have our grip too tight on the things of this world anyway, as long as we're living for Christ, as long as we have spiritual things at the forefront of our mind, you know, these things shouldn't really bother us that much. And so I think I have a pretty balanced view about this, that I go through my life thinking about other people, not trashing anything, not destroying the environment around me. I don't want to support businesses or governments that are just pumping garbage into the atmosphere and just say, yeah, we'll show them Democrats, you know, crank that thing, crank up that furnace and let's just churn out even more noxious fumes. At the same time, you know, I'm never going to buy into this fear-mongering, alarmist agenda that claims that, you know, the ice caps are all going to melt and we're all going to die. It's just not going to happen. The Bible says it's not going to happen. Science says it's not going to happen. Common sense says it's not going to happen. Even the scariest predictions for 80 years from now that sea levels rising by, you know, 6 feet or something, okay, says, oh, that's going to displace 250 million people. They're going to have to move. Then 250 million people are going to have to move, and they have 75 years to figure it out. You know, I mean, there are places in this world right now that are just totally underwater that used to be above the water. Remember that place in Jamaica? What was it called? Port Royal. And isn't it just totally underwater now? And there are other cities, if you look at historic maps and things, where there are other historical cities that are just completely underwater right now. Part of Tyre, you know, Tyre and Zidon in the Bible, part of it is completely underwater on the southern part of the city. It's submerged. It used to, that part of the island used to be above the water. You know, I mean, it's just things change. Things move up, they go down. I mean, sometimes a single earthquake can move the earth up by several feet or down by several feet in a location. And sea levels are going to rise, they're going to fall. We don't know what a day is going to break forth. Maybe 50 years from now, the sea level will have gone up. Maybe it won't have gone up at all. Maybe it will have gone up down because there's so many other factors. There are volcanoes that can erupt, plate tectonics. Look, has anybody ever heard of the year without a summer? One person has heard about the year without a summer. What year was it? So in the 1800s, there was a year where there was a volcanic eruption, and it messed up the weather so much, it was called the year without a summer, and it caused a lot of widespread famines and all kinds of terrible results. And what if that happened today? Obviously, it could easily happen today. If it happened in the 1800s, and this is before the Industrial Revolution, just randomly, it was just an act of God. Volcano messed up the weather patterns, and you had the so-called year. Just Google it later, year without a summer, and you'll see what I'm talking about. One person has testified that it's real. I got a second witness. Well, here's the thing about that. If that happened now, there'd be a bunch of people just ready to capitalize on that and say, you see what we've been saying? You are responsible for killing all these thousands of people that are starving because of the year without a summer. I mean, do you really think that if a year without a summer happened next year, people would just be like, hey, everybody, relax. This happened in the 1800s. It happens every once in a while. You think that's what they would say? How many people in this world do you think would blame it on global warming? And they would blame it on cars, and they'd blame it on America, and they'd blame it on our lifestyle. You know what it really comes down to is envy, which is a sin in the Bible, right? Because we in the United States, we live in prosperity, and I like it. You know what I like? I like living in a clean, sanitary, safe, prosperous, beautiful place. Who likes that too? You like that too? Yeah, so do I. And then you got people elsewhere, it's just kind of like, ah, you Americans, you consume so much crap. Yeah, we consume it because we bought it, because we paid for it. And you know why God has blessed this country? Because it's a Christian nation. You're Muslim. That's why your country's messed up. Europe is messed up because it's allowing all the Muslims to come in. God's cursing you, Europe, because you're allowing Muslims to invade en masse. And not only that, Europe is being cursed because they've turned away from Christianity long before America did. Now, if America keeps turning away from Christianity, we're going to end up the same way as Europe. But you know why we're blessed? Because we've historically been a Christian nation. And so here we are, we're blessed. We have all these children and all these goods and all this prosperity and stuff. And it's like, oh, you're ruining the environment or whatever. You know, it's sour grapes because they don't have the prosperity that we have. And they envy our prosperity. They envy, you know, they want us driving around one of those stupid little smart cars that they drive over there. They're just jealous because they can't have the vehicles that we can have over here. And let me tell you, if somebody comes at you with this propaganda that tells you that people have a higher standard of living in Europe, let me just tell you right now, it's a lie. It's false. Okay? It isn't true. The life that I've lived here in the United States would have never been possible in Europe. I was 24 years old, married, 3 kids, bought a home with a swimming pool in the backyard. You think that's going to happen in Germany? No, not happening. Okay? But Europe, you want to know what's wrong with Europe? Do you know how many people go to church in England tonight? You want to know what percentage of people in the United Kingdom attend church of any Christian denomination? It's less than 1%. Did you hear me? In England tonight, less than 1% of people are attending church on Sunday. You think God's going to bless that? Okay? You think God's going to bless Germany, where everybody's Catholic or Catholic light, also known as Protestant, but they're just Catholic light, and they are persecuting any preacher who even gets up and preaches something halfway biblical? And of course, they persecute people like Brother Anselm, you know, for preaching all these hard sermons about sodomites or something. But you know what? They even persecute a Lutheran guy just because he got up and said Muslims aren't going to heaven. Jews aren't going to heaven. Right? Catholicism's a false religion. That's why we're Lutheran. This is what he said. We're Lutheran because Catholics are false. Otherwise, we'd be Catholic too. But we're not. We're Lutheran. It's like, oh, and they literally prosecuted him and charged him with hate speech crimes. And they literally have taken him to court. He was exonerated. He's convicted. It's appealed. Like, it's going back and forth. But the guy didn't even preach the kind of stuff we preach. I mean, what this guy said was super mild. He's basically just saying Jesus is the only way to heaven. And he's being charged with hate crimes. Meanwhile, Anselm over here is ripping on queers and all this stuff. And he's getting charged with the same crime. Which just shows you can't please these people. Okay, so look, that's the problem today. The problems in this world are spiritual problems. And we in America today have unprecedented prosperity and safety and cleanliness, and it's great. And you say, yeah, but you're just destroying the environment. You know, look, other cultures would destroy the environment too, okay? It's just that they don't have the resources to destroy the environment like we do. I'm not kidding. This is the truth that I'm laying on you right now. You know what? You know what? You want to know one of the biggest sticks of baloney that is put out about this? They try to say this. Oh, the Native Americans, they're living in perfect harmony with nature until the evil Christian white man came along and destroyed nature. Can I explain to you why the Native Americans weren't destroying the environment? Is because they didn't have the technology to destroy the environment. It's because they're living hand to mouth. It's because most of them didn't even have clothes to wear, okay? In the 1500s, when the first Europeans showed up in North America, most of the Native Americans weren't wearing any clothes, okay? And they're living hand to mouth, okay? If you think about the Indians in this area, they're living on things like acorns. They're eating cactuses and acorns. That is not a healthy diet, okay? And it's like, oh, but they only took what they needed. They didn't take too much. Hey, they would have loved to take more. They were low tech. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not that they're just like, oh, they knew that, you know, you can't take too much and you've got to just live in harmony with nature and only take what you need. You think they're just like, oh, let's take this acorn and let's leave the other acorn behind. They're squirreling away as many acorns as they could. I'm serious right now. This is not a joke. And it's, you want to know why they didn't destroy the environment? Because they didn't have the ability to destroy the environment. Because you know what? We can drive right now to an Indian reservation, and you know what you're going to find on an Indian reservation? You're not going to find people living in harmony with nature. You're going to find piles of trash that are higher than any pile of trash you've ever seen if you've never been to an Indian reservation. I've been there. I've been to all 21 reservations in Arizona, and I've never seen anything like it. There's more litter on those reservations. And you know, I said that to somebody one time, and this is what they said. They said, well, but yeah, I mean, it's easy for you to say, but it's because, you know, we've let them down because we don't provide the right trash pickup and whatever. But you know what? At the end of the day, though, nobody's forcing you to eat your disposable wrapper and throw it on the ground. Because you know what? If you really wanted to get that stuff to a proper receptacle, you'd get it there. right? Because I have relatives who live in areas with no trash pickup at all. And you know what they do? They gather up all their trash, they store it up, and once a week they drive it to the dump. And you know what? If you go to an Indian reservation, you know what you're going to find on the typical Native American property? Like 3 pickup trucks. Just living in harmony with nature with their 3 pickup trucks. Processed foods. Piles of trash, right? But no. They were living in perfect harmony with nature until the evil white man showed up and ruined it. No, my friend, the reason why we have used more resources is because we have more technology. And any group in this world who has the technology to do so is going to use resources, right? Because here's the thing. And then the Native Americans, they get angry and they say, you know, we're imposing Christianity. We're imposing on them the American way of life. It's like, okay, well then give me back that belt buckle. Give me that cowboy hat. Give me that pickup truck. Give me that Spam. You know, give me that Coca-Cola, and you know what? You go back to living your way of life. None of them want to do that. And I don't blame them. Do you think they want to go back to a winter of acorn food? They don't want to eat acorns all winter. They don't want to just wait for the prickly pears to be ripe so we can have food again. Eating spiders. And you know, you think I'm making this stuff up? You know, I've read the historical accounts from the 1500s, okay? They're living hand to mouth back then. And so they don't want to go back to the pre-contact lifestyle. You know, these Native American movements, you want to know what they're really about? They're anti-Christian. They're about saying, the white Christian ruined everything, so we need to go back to our traditional ways. I'm not talking about my pickup truck. I'm not talking about Spam. I'm not talking about my belt buckle. I'm not talking about my cowboy hat. I'm talking about going back to worshiping Satan and not having Jesus Christ and Christianity. I want to go back to running around the campfire dressed up like a demon. That's what they're saying. That's what it comes down to. We want our way of life back. They want to worship demons, is what they mean. Because they, what are they saying? We don't want cars. Is that what they're saying? No cars. Get these cars off the reservation. Why am I not hearing that? No more Spam. No more grocery stores. Get these gas stations out of here. That's not what they're saying. Get these casinos out. We don't want these casinos. Is that what they're saying? They want the casinos. They want the cars. They want the houses. We're tired of having power hooked up to our house. Get this indoor plumbing out of here. We want our way of life. No, you know, when they say we want our way of life, you know what they're saying? We want to worship Satan. Instead, and let me tell you something. When you are dancing around the campfire with a ghoulish mask on, whoever you're praying to is not the Lord. Am I right? And so I'm telling you, this whole global warming issue, this whole environmental issue comes down to an attack on big families, an attack on Christianity, an attack on the American way of life, an attack on the prosperity that we've created in this country and even spread to other parts of the world. And we've even spread it to the Native Americans. And you know what? A lot of people on the reservations are living sad, messed up lives. And I feel bad about that, and that's why we're constantly going there and preaching the gospel to them and showing them the love of Christ, and we want to show them a better way to live their life. We love them. You know, if you think I don't like Indians, you're 100% wrong about me, because I've spent hundreds of hours on Indian reservations. I love going to Indian reservations. I love the people. You know, I've studied the languages. You know, I think it's great. But you know what? I don't love their false religion, because I don't love any false religion. And I do think their false religion's demonic, just like Islam is demonic, just like Roman Catholicism's demonic. Okay? But at the end of the day, all of this stuff is a political ploy. It's propaganda. Is global warming real? You want to know my personal opinion? My personal opinion is yes, it's real. My personal opinion is yes, emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases over the last 100 years have caused the global temperature to rise a little bit and have caused the average sea level to rise a little bit. I've looked at the evidence, I've looked at the data, and I personally believe that it's all true as far as that. But you know what I don't believe? I don't believe for one second all this alarmism garbage that we're all doomed and we're doing this irreparable damage. It's totally exaggerated. It's totally a hoax. Everything's going to be fine. And I can say on the authority of the Bible that everything's going to be fine until Christ returns as far as the big picture of nature. Doesn't mean there aren't going to be some environmental disasters in certain places, but in general, it's all going to be fine. I'm for Christianity. I'm for America. I'm for prosperity. I'm for technology. I don't want to go backwards. I want you to figure out how to get power to my house that doesn't pump a bunch of, you know, carbon dioxide into the air. But figure it out, because I'm not turning off my computer. And the difference between me and the libtards is that I'm admitting that and telling the truth about that, that I don't want to go back to the Stone Age. And so I hope that this sermon helped maybe put some things in perspective for you, or maybe taught you something. Maybe it just confused you more. But I hope that something that I said tonight clicked with you and made some kind of sense, because this is an issue that we hear about all the time, and people are constantly bringing this up and whatever. And so I think it's just good to look at some Bible verses and see what the Word of God says. We don't know what's coming. Quit pretending to. God's got the whole world in His hands. Don't build your house on the sand. And if you do build your house on the sand and it gets submerged, well, I'm not too worried about it, because I live at 1,100 feet sea level, and so I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your word, Lord, to give us assurance about these things. We don't have to be scared and have our childhood taken away from us because we're so scared about global warming, Lord. Thank You that we know that even if the mountains are removed and even if they're cast into the sea, we will not fear, because we know that You're in control. We know that You're watching over us individually, and we know that You're watching over this planet as a whole, Lord. Please help us to act responsibly and considerately of others, Lord. Help us to take care of our neighbor. And Lord, ultimately help us preach the gospel to the Muslims and to the Jews and to the Indians and everyone else who's worshiping Satan. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.